This is another DAM podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Ralph Windsor. Ralph, how are you?
Hi, Henrik. How are you?
Good. Ralph, how are you involved with digital asset management?
That's a good question. I've been doing DAM for about 25 years now, if you can believe. Originally, when I first started in this, I was a freelance multimedia software developer. This is sort of back in the days of multimedia CD-ROMs in the mid-90s. I had a client around that time who was a photo library, and they wanted a searchable catalog of all their images with a light box where you can select favorites and so on. And I built that for them and then had a few other similar sort of clients, sort of smaller, medium-sized stock media libraries who wanted the same kind of thing. That progressed later. We had design agencies and some enterprise clients who wanted what used to be called corporate style guidelines, which is where basically you'd have like a logo, print artwork, and key photos. People put all that onto a CD-ROM. And it's sort of like early forerunners of the kind of enterprise DAMs that you get these days. And then around 2000, we were mainly doing web-based catalogs. Most of the clients were corporates who were essentially looking to build in-house media libraries rather than kind of, going to stock media libraries. And around that time, we were still offering all the sort of services, so developing the software, doing scanning, because a lot of the images were still non-digital at that time, sometimes managing digital asset libraries, and also consulting, which is sort of a big part of the service that needed to be provided then and now, I would argue also. Around 2012, we sold off the software side of the business to another vendor who are interested in taking that on for their own platform. We focus now entirely on consulting. So it's things like managing DAM implementations, vendor selection, metadata analysis, troubleshooting. We usually get asked to participate across the whole sort of range of the DAM delivery lifecycle, you might say. And I think I've probably worked on, I've worked this out as about 120 unique projects. And each one of them has I've learned something new from each one of them. So yeah, there's a fair bit, in terms of my involvement with DAM, it's pretty much defined my professional life, you might say.
Ralph, what are digital asset management open specifications?
Yeah, another good question. There's been a lot of talk about standards in the DAM market over the years. Various initiatives kind of come and gone. They don't tend to go anywhere because there isn't really the kind of commercial motivation for the vendors to make the products work together. And the other sort of participants don't really have the time or necessarily the inclination to make things happen. I know that the DAM Foundation, when that was still going, they set up this thing, that the 10 core characteristics. I believe that was around 2014. And that's not actually a bad first attempt at some sort of standard to work to. And it does cover the basics. But one thing I noticed as you go through this towards the latter half of it, some of the areas of it get quite vague. So you've got sections like administrative capabilities, which are sort of quite broad and open to interpretation. And there's other things about being able to handle many types of files, which isn't particularly a unique feature. I just kind of got the feeling that as they were coming up with this, they maybe had the realization that that this is quite a deep and complex sort of subject. And just the fact that, there are 10 characteristics rather than 5 or 4 or something, gives you a clue that this is sort of an in-depth subject that doesn't lend itself very well to a kind of static list, so to speak. And just following on from that, there's things like APIs, reporting, audit trials. They're not actually addressed by the 10 core, which I think they were aware of at DAM Foundation, and there was maybe an expectation that they might add those in later on. But obviously the DAM Foundation is not around anymore, so that hasn't happened. The way I looked at it was, this is less like a kind of fixed list or list of sort of characteristics, and it was more like something like an open specification, a functional specification of what a DAM system might be, would be something that would be more appropriate, just because of the fact that if it's open, that anybody who's involved in the DAM community can in theory contribute and comment on it and participate. And also, because it's open-ended, if there is new functionality that becomes important in DAM systems, like some of the areas that I've mentioned, or even if it's simply just been missed off, it's quite easy to develop those, and it's far more organic and dynamic as well. So, yeah, that's one of the things we've been looking at, is like an open specification for DAM systems that you can benchmark vendors against, that can kind of grow and evolve as the industry does. Obviously, there are going to be caveats with it, just like there are anything else. Just because a system maybe ticks all the functional boxes doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be superior to another one, because of things like usability and so on. And there's the whole question of how to interpret whether or not a system has the functionality or it doesn't. But yeah, open specification seemed to be more suitable as a framework for evaluating and assessing DAMs going forward than what we've got with the current initiatives, which were good at the time, but I think they're becoming less fit for purpose than they were when they were originally envisaged.
Ralph, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
I think on the challenges side, there are two of them. The first would be user adoption. The second would be interoperability. Just taking the user adoption first, I think persuading people, this, as you know, thing we both participated in the webinar at the end of last year on user adoption with Lisa Grimm, Jan Mattson, and Frank DiCarlo, where we talked a lot about these issues. But yeah, getting people to actually use a DAM once it's been implemented and set up and so on remains one of the biggest challenges, I think, that affects everybody across the industry. It's almost, it's kind of chicken and egg conundrum. If you've got an organization where the DAM gets widely adopted, then it generates a spark which maintains interest in it and a lot of buzz and activity, and it becomes kind of self-sustaining. But if you don't get that right, then it never actually captures people's imagination, and it almost seems like it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't actually get taken up. I think I've mentioned this, made this comparison a number of times before. DAM user adoption is a lot like a kind of sales and marketing activity. There's definitely a lot of similarities between those sort of activities with adoption and getting people to take up the DAM. So that's one of the main challenges. And I think that's always going to remain the case as well. So certainly on that side. The other big challenge has been interoperability. I was talking about standards earlier, and basically there are no interoperability standards in DAM. And on top of that, there are hundreds, literally hundreds of systems. I think where this really becomes a challenge is, it's less about two DAM systems talking to each other, although that does come in. It's more where you've got a third-party component that has to integrate a DAM with something else, like a web content management system, or you just want to build a plugin, some functionality that's going to extend upon a DAM to develop it in a way that the vendor didn't envisage. If you're one of these sort of tool vendors, or you want to integrate with something, you've got 100 products which you've potentially got to develop a component for. And I think what happens then is that the developers of those tools kind of have to make a choice about which ones they're going to support, which ones they're not, and profile, you know, user numbers and all kinds of things like that. And I think, yeah, interoperability is a big challenge for digital asset management right now. And in terms of the successes, it's almost like the flip side of the interoperability point. I think a lot of people now have realized certainly in the last 6 or 7 years, the integration and this whole digital asset supply chain piece, which is coming in now, is really important. And the advantages of being able to integrate and connect dams with lots of different systems and put your dam system kind of like at the heart of the enterprise in terms of its role as a kind of media stroke content hub. That's been a massive success. That's really what's kind of keeping, I think, DAM in the game as an enterprise technology at the moment. So yeah, those would be my two top talent challenges and top success.
And Ralph, what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
This is quite a broad-based one. I think to be a successful professional digital asset manager, you've really got to be self-reliant, perhaps more so than many other roles. You've got to take on a lot of different activities. They're all quite different from each other, quite unique in terms of the skills. The chances are you're probably not going to have a team, and even if you have, it's going to be a very small one. So yeah, you've definitely got to be a self-starter, one of these people who's prepared to learn a lot of different stuff and kind of get on with it without other people kind of, coming along and spoon-feeding you or helping you. So the work kind of covers all sorts of different subjects. You've got to be a bit of a technical expert. You've got to have very strong metadata skills, at least an understanding of library science. And some of the best digital asset managers I've come across have all got MLIS, library science qualifications. I talked earlier about sales and marketing knowledge for getting people to adopt DAM systems. And there's an element of that as well. You've got to be a bit of a kind of marketeer, and you've got to be constantly demonstrating to your senior management that that DAM and what you do does generate huge amounts of value for the organization. So there's all those sort of skills that have to get thrown into the mix. And I think if you really need to be, as a professional digital asset manager, you've got to be honest with yourself and look at where you're strong, where you're weak. And if there are areas that you're weak at, then you have to work on those and, yeah, keep your skills and the knowledge up to date. And if I could make a plug here, I would obviously recommend that you look at publications like DAM News and also, the DAM section on CMS Wire, and stay up to date with what's going on in the industry so you can learn a lot more and develop your expertise as your career progresses.
Great. Well, thanks, Ralph.
Thank you, Henry. Thanks for the opportunity.
For more on this, visit anotherdampodcast.com. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to send me an email at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.